Thank you. You are listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug and Scott L.
Well, here's a picture I never thought I could get. Well, I'd love to take a picture of this right now. I have Doug sitting next to me with a Guar CD in his hand.
That's me. I was looking at
the studying it intently.
Yeah, I was reading all this stuff because when we were talking on the break. Well, first of all, this is Ghostly Talk, and I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Bonnie.
And we are broadcast live on Sunday nights from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. from the haunted Warren Winery in Warren, Michigan.
Uh-huh.
And our website is www.ghostlytalk.com. We have on the line Odorous Urungus. Dave Brocky, who just sent Scott L. into a tailspin.
Yes, he did. He did.
It was awesome. I thought that there was no minutiae of heavy metal fact-finding or anything that was not already in Scott's head,
uh-huh.
You know, completely accurately. And yet, Dave went and sent you a tailspin.
One of the songs we played on the break, one of the songs was Vlad the Impaler. You know, and when I was going through music to play for the show this week, I'm like, hey, that's kind of fitting. You know, it's a great song, and you know, it also kind of fits in with what we're doing here, right? So,
right.
And I brought the music up while we were on break with Dave. We were talking with him, and he's like, all right, Vlad the Impaler. He's like, hey, by the way, remember this? Here's a fact for you: Metal Blade Records, when they put this album out originally, they put there was a typo on the song, so it was called Vlap. With a P, not a D. So, and I'm like, no way. And I jump up and I run into my room and I grab my Scum Dogs of the Universe, this CD, which was your second CD, by the way. This is an old album now, Dave.
Don't remind me.
But sure enough, I look at the back, I look at the track list on the back, track 8, Vlap the Impaler. I'm like, oh my God, wow, this is totally, it's not cool, but it's interesting, because all these, you know, Dave, these things, these little things that you don't notice that you hear from someone like yourself, it's stuff that I will lock into my brain forever now, okay?
Yeah, and Guar fans will, like, covet things like that. Any kind of typo or mistake or censored version of an album, you know, like the real hardcore, they've got to have, like, every single, you know, possible derivative of every product we've ever put out. So, good start. I think pretty much on all the Scum Dogs, though, we never corrected the typo. We kind of thought it was kind of cool.
It's not bad.
I mean, it's pretty obvious I'm not singing Vlap, Vlap, Vlap the Impaler.
Wait a minute. Let me, now I'm holding the CD in my hands right now, Dave. Let me just look in. You know what? Okay, yeah. I'm looking at the lyrics now too. Let me see here.
He's looking at the
lyrics. No, they only get it wrong on the back.
Back of the album. Yeah,
the
lyrics are correct. Lyrics are correct. The title's correct, and all the lyrics there are correct. So, yeah, it was just on the back.
It's on the back, and it's also on
the
imprint of the CD. Yeah.
Yeah, they lithographed it too. Yep.
That's pretty cool.
Weirdest thing that ever happened as far as like a misprint or something was actually in the Guar Japanese version of Scum Dogs of the Universe.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did, and actually I have a copy of it right here in my hands, it comes with like a little picture book. And they, I don't know what these crazy Japanese did, but they apparently just listened to the songs and tried to interpret them, translate them into English, and they got all the lyrics are wrong. Like, I'm trying to find a good example now. Like, instead of the Hall of the Negro Lord, they say I'm in the Hall of the Negro Lord.
Oh my God.
There's some more funny stuff in there, but I can't look it up right now. I also know that on the new Guar album coming out,
oh yeah,
that I will mention over and over again throughout the course of the program tonight.
And so will I.
Beyond Hell is they got two of the songs mixed up.
You're kidding me.
Destroyed and the Ultimate Bohab got flip flopped. So I don't know. Guar fans have got it hard enough. We don't need to have to explain them any more than they already have to try to understand anyway.
That happens a lot, though. You know, I look back, it's funny, I look back on CDs and cassettes that I have now, Dave, and I notice, I didn't notice this thing on Scum Dogs of the Universe, but there's a lot of cassettes I I noticed like they printed stuff backwards in the tray sleeve, or they printed things. There's typos all over the place. I've seen that with a lot of my older albums and things like that. It's funny to look back on that, look back on it now, and go, God, what were they doing? What were they doing?
Some of it was what, pre-spell check or something. I guess it had to be.
But that's really
text messaging and the internet has hurt spelling so much. I mean. Yeah. Because people are going for this new kind of way of spelling where they basically just spell it as quickly as possible, you know, phonetically or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And slowly but surely, it's actually going to change the way that we spell words, you know. Like, thanks is going to be THX, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And,
well, there is.
I always strive for perfect English, even in my text messaging. I think it's important.
I do, too.
I do the same thing. You know, even since the early days of the internet.
I still capitalize the first words of sentences.
So do I.
Yeah,
commas are good. Commas are good. Periods are good. Punctuation is good. We've raised the country of dummies as it is. We don't need to make it any worse.
And I agree with that 100%. I mean,
LMAO.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. STFU. STFU. You know what that one is.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Dave knows what that one is.
I don't think we can say that.
I'm over Ghostly Talk because I have a very appropriate story for the show tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. The floor is yours. We're gonna let you do that. Do you want to tell it right now?
Yeah, I'll get into it right now because it's probably going to spawn a bunch of... bunch of craziness. Okay.
On our show, yes, it will.
Yes, it will.
They just moved into this house with my girlfriend, and we moved in, I guess, what, 8 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the weirdest thing. Before we moved into this house, I just had this weird feeling that we've been here for about a year. We just had this weird feeling that, like, someone had died in the house, and not just died, that someone had been murdered here.
Mm-hmm.
And more than that, that it was a young girl that mm-hmm. had been murdered here. And I don't know why I thought that. I don't know why that was, like, stuck in my head. But, like, for some reason, my brain, even though no one had ever told me this, or I'd never researched it, or no one, you know, came up to me and said, oh, yeah, a bunch of people got murdered in there. I just had this feeling that it had happened. In fact, mm-hmm. the feeling was so strong that I just assumed that it had happened.
Okay.
So I was lying on the couch one night, and I had this dream that I started to get really scared, and I was trying to wake up, and it was one of those things where my body was, like, paralyzed with fear, and you couldn't open your eyes, but you could still see everything around you, and I don't know what the heck's going on here, if this was in my dream or what, but I saw this figure in the room of a woman, a young woman, with a long red nightgown on, and she was floating about, 6 inches off the ground, and going across the room towards the front door. It was absolutely horrifying. I couldn't make out her face. I could just kind of see these wisps of hair rising around it.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I just, like, shook myself out of the dream. And I woke up and, you know, everything was fine. But I just, you know, I had the creepiest, weirdest feeling. But I was just like, you know, did I just get visited by the girl who got murdered here? And I just kind of blew it off after that. And about a month later, I had another episode like that. But this was just insane. I was laying in bed. My girlfriend's laying next to me. We're laying there in bed, and I'm fast asleep, and I start having this dream that this creature is coming down the hall, and I look to the door, and I see the door opening, and there is this thing outside the door in a red nightgown, and now I can see her face. It's got, like, the hair has fallen off. It's a full skull face, okay?
Okay.
With the hair has all fallen off the top of it. And it's just sticking to the sides of the head, and it's kind of waving around the head like, you know, she's underwater or something. And, I mean, this is like right out of The Ring or something. I was absolutely horrified. My girlfriend was reading in bed next to me. She was awake.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, she said I, like, woke up, and I was just, like, my eyes were wide open, and I could feel myself trying to, like, get my body to move, but I was absolutely paralyzed. I was trying to scream
because mm-hmm.
this thing was coming into the room. And I could not get the scream out of my mouth. And finally, somehow, I woke up at that point, and she was like, what the hell's wrong with you? And I was just bathed in cold sweat. And, man, I think I got a haunted house here.
Well, here's the thing with that. I mean, I don't know if you've done this or not yet, Dave, but we tell people this all the time. When people have experiences like that in their homes, we always tell them to go, try to go to where you go to the local police station, your library even, and try to look up history. If you go to the police station, usually they're very, very open about this information. If you give them your address and stuff like that, and say, I'm looking for any type of maybe violent activity that may have happened in my house, a murder or something like that, they can usually look that up for you, Dave, and you may be able to verify what's going on there. That's something you may want to try out.
Does she seem mean to you?
I've been thinking about get my girl to give me some beer. I've been thinking about that. In fact, I was going to do it before I even moved. The feeling was so strong, I was going to do it before I even moved in. But I don't know, maybe I'm a little scared to do it now because, I mean, I feel that, like, when you're dreaming, I mean, I've had some really weird experiences with people that are dead or who have died when I've been dreaming. I've had, like, relatives come back and visit me, and it's like, you know, I don't know a heck of a lot about it, but I believe the subconscious is a world where the spirit world and the world of reality kind of intersect. And, hold on. kind of a, and I think that they, you know, I don't know, I guess maybe I've been a little scared to find out the truth.
Well, it's funny.
Sorry, I had a little distraction there. The haunted girl needed some money for pizza.
Well, the thing, it's funny.
Does this visitation, this girl in the decaying girl in the red dress, does she seem to know that you're there? Like, is she being...
First time, she didn't. The first time, she just, like, made a beeline across the living room and... didn't pay any attention to me whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
Maybe she didn't know that we were there yet. The second time, she definitely knew that we were there because she was coming into the bedroom to, like, check us out. And,
wow.
It really creeped me out, dude.
Well, like I said, there may be that you may want... I mean, it's up to you.
I mean, maybe Maybe she just has a message she wants to tell you, or maybe she's hopefully not, you know...
I know exactly what that message is as well.
Yeah,
what's that?
What's she saying?
Oh, me so horny.
Hang on.
She's a party ghost.
She's a party ghost.
She's a party ghost. That's it.
It's a party ghost. Yeah. Look, I've got my best skull head face on for you with your burning red eyes.
Well, Dave, you know, in a situation like this, like yours right there, it's up to you. Like I said a second ago, it's up to you completely. I mean, if you want to investigate this and go back on it, you know, if you want, feel free, you know. A lot of people, and you said this thing, it scared you, though. I mean, it's obvious you say that this has scared you. It startled you. It frightened you. And sometimes people are just better off maybe just going,
I
got to
live with
this. We've done investigations like that, Dave, where we went to houses and said where people say they've seen things, they've heard things, things have fallen off the tables, they've flown off walls, all kinds of crazy stuff. And the first thing I tell people when we go to houses like that is, okay, look, we're going to take pictures, we're going to take audio, we're going to do all kinds of things. We're going to probably bring a psychic in here and have them get their impressions of the place. Can you handle that?
And some people have said no.
People have said no. I don't want to deal with that. Never mind. Go home. Get out of here. They've done that. And it's a matter of, you know, who you are and if you want to handle that. I mean, that's something we can throw your way possibly, Dave, to help you out with that.
Oh, I think we might be on something here. It's like, I think I will go ahead and check it out. If it does turn out that there was a young girl murdered in my house, maybe we should poke around here a little bit because it really – I've never been – You know, I've never had really paranoid. Well, I've had things that were unexplainable happen to me in my life, definitely. But this is the first time I think I might have seen a ghost, and it doesn't scare me so much as intrigue me. I don't believe that they can hurt us.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they can frighten you to death if you're of weak constitution.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't believe that she has anything against me. Maybe she was just coming to say hi, you know? Maybe she just wanted to snuggle up or something. I'm trying to watch some cable.
Well, there's...
We don't have cable.
I'll let you know what's going on with that.
Please.
Like, we don't have cable on the other side, so I'm glad you moved in.
I ain't going to let no ghost scare me out of my house. Actually, I wrote a a pretty detailed description of the of both experiences. It's on my website right now at Odorus, O-D-E-R-U-S.com. My personal website that I update like once every 2 years or so. But a pretty detailed description of what had happened up there. And a lot of people came up to me on this tour and told me similar experiences they'd had, and also just said, "Oh, Dave, that was absolutely terrifying. It scared the hell out of me. You should move out of there immediately." And I'm not going anywhere. I think our little ghost likes us, and I hope she stays down in the basement. But she comes back upstairs, you know.
Well,
we'll offer her some chips or something.
Get a no ghosts allowed sign. No ghosts allowed, and put it on the bedroom door.
That's the mentality, though, a lot of people have, and I think it's a healthy mentality. I think it makes a lot of people comfortable, Dave, where you just said, "Hey, look, this is my house. I bought this place. I live here. All right, we can live together if you want." We've talked to countless people, Dave, who have had the same, similar experiences in their homes. We both know how hard it is to move. It's a pain in the butt to try to move, and it isn't something you can just get up and do overnight. That's the thing with that. So people say, "Look, this is my house." And a lot of people just say, we'll share the space together. Just don't scare me anymore. Just don't do that stuff. I don't
need
that.
Here's the rule.
Yeah, here's the rules of a home. Let's deal with that. That's a really...
Yeah, but, it's just... That's cool, but it's just it's kind of hard not to scare you when you have a skeletal head with burning red eyes.
Yeah.
That would freak me out, too.
She does need
And
to
her
see.
Floating around with, her tattered nightgown kind of, dragging across the floor, bunching up around her feet, and, kind of... I could even see it, pulling... because it was dragging on the ground, but her feet were, 5 inches off the floor.
Oh,
so
God.
It's like, oh, God, it was...
Yeah, she... she
took you to the max, dude. But, yeah, we're not going to... I think I will check it out. If we find anything out, I'll let you know.
Please.
Well, when you guys aren't home, turn on, the TLC, is that the Learning Channel?
The Learning Channel,
for
yeah.
all those, self-help reality show kinds of things.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's one about, how to dress. And maybe she could get
what not to wear.
Yeah. Maybe she could get tips.
A spiritual makeover.
Yeah,
there you go.
Spiritual makeover, something like that, because she might need some of that input, is all.
I have to ask you, David, I don't want to jump off subject, but you guys have a new album coming out this Tuesday, right?
Yes, we do. We're very, 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 very excited. I just got the Digipack, which is the first 10,000 or come with a DVD as well, and I just checked out all the packaging and everything, and it just really, really, really looks and sounds great. We're super, super proud of it. It's truly a culmination of the entire Guar staff, because everyone got a new costume this year.
Oh, really?
We did a photo shoot, of everyone before everything got destroyed on tour, and then used that for the layout, and it just looks absolutely beautiful. And the new album, Beyond Hell.
Yes.
And it's really cool because this is Guar's. We kind of played with doing, a rock opera kind of story albums before with mixed results, but this is a this whole thing is all about Guar's descent into hell and our coming face-to-face with the Lord of the Underworld. And it's basically a play on the whole Dante's Inferno and descent mythos kind of thing, which is one of the most repeated forms of, literature all the way back. Every culture's got a hell, and every culture's got a story about somebody who went down there to get something that, that was supposed to be up on the surface world. And, so we really did we've done the whole album, sequentially, the songs are all different chapters in the story, and, it comes with full explanations in between the lyrics of what the heck's going on, and the show's going to reflect that as well, and it's hard to do that and not come across as pretentious and heavy-handed, so we pretty much made it a spoof of all that stuff, and it turned out really, really great, and we'll just see. It's like the last couple of Guar albums, it was really heavy.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of got back to our metal roots on the Violence Has Arrived album. We've kind of been readopted by the metal community, and this album staying true to that. It's the heaviest record I think we've done.
I know.
Ever.
I know,
and
the sound.
Comes out this Tuesday.
I know the sound, and I was gonna note that the last couple albums you guys have put out have been a lot harder edged. You guys have really been going back to that. I mean, I was listening to riffs from Violence Has Arrived, and I'm just like, God, And it don't. I mean, I don't. I mean, I'm like, there's a Slayer feel to this kind of. I kind of hear a little bit of Slayer in there and stuff like that, which is totally cool because I think Slayer rules. But it is that heavy edge you guys have kind of adopted again. So that's really glad to. I'm really glad to hear that again coming out.
Yeah,
of you guys.
We kind of went through. you know, after, like, the America Must Be Destroyed album and, you know, when we started getting into, like, 94, 95, from, like, Toilet Earth all the way up to, I guess, We Kill Everything, we had a lot of turnover in band members.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of different artists that were kind of coming and going that all had lots of strong ideas, and we really kind of had a little too much going on, I think. I mean, even though I wouldn't take back a single note we played on a single album,
mm-hmm.
we kind of got lost in, like, comedy punk rock land there for a while, and there's a lot of really cool songs that came out of that, and I think Guarnini did go through that, but, like, on the Violence Has Arrived album, we finally had solidified our lineup, had the same guys now for the last three records,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, we just decided, you know, let's listen to our critics that always slag us and say, oh, Guar, they got great costumes, but, you know, their music is just a bunch of punk rock crap.
Mm.
And, I mean, instead of, like, just dissing our critics, let's actually listen to them, and let's make Guar sound as scary as we look and see how it goes. And
mm-hmm.
it's gone great, and we've done it without sacrificing any of the humor of Guar. In fact, the more seriously you try to portray Guar, the funnier it is. Because no one can... How could you take it seriously at any level, you know?
It's, well, like, you're the only band...
get upset with things Odorous does, I'm like, well, you know, you might as well get upset with Homer Simpson as well. We're talking about the same kind of guy.
Well, you're the only band I know of that can make light of a giant Tyrannosaurus Rex coming to eat everybody. It's the only time I've ever seen anything like that where I was, like, cracking up laughing. I have to be honest with you. I've seen portrayals left and right of the same thing happening. And it was always like, oh my God, there's a giant T-Rex coming after us. And you guys, it's your pet.
Somehow we make it funny. I know. It's like, oh, Gorgor. Then I put my head in its mouth like I'm a lion tamer, and then it bites my head, and blah, blah, blah. And I've been forced through its skull. I tell you, when you're up on stage, and you're getting to the end of the Guar show, and Gorgor comes out, and he looked especially fierce this year. He looked really awesome.
He looked great.
Got a full new paint job and overhaul right before we left.
Mm-hmm.
And there were nights where he really scared the hell out of me. I would look across the stage, and there would be this, you know, 10-foot-tall, you know, lumbering behemoth of latex rubber, just, you know, but you can't see anybody inside of it, and it really looked real, you know. It was like, oh my God, this thing is coming after me to kill me. So I
tell you what, in light of that, I have to, you know, and this was all, I mean, I did a very good job. I'm very proud of myself. Let's take a quick break, okay, Dave? I just want to take a quick minute, and what I want to do on this break is I want to play a song that we just talked about. And that song is called Gorgor, right, Dave?
Oh, Gorgor.
Gorgor!
Gorgor! Great song. Let's take a break. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Matt.
We'll be right back after this.
For more information, visit ghostlytalk.com.
This is Rick Hayes, paranormal communication consultant of Life's Gift. Feel free to contact me at lifesgift.com for more info about your life after, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Steve at My Paraspace. You can visit us on the web at www.myparaspace.com, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
We have the big green alien guy.
Oh, and then...
And then the little green alien guy, his spawn. And apparently you're the father of that thing.
Evidently, I am.
There is a dispute.
Or Odorous could be the father. We don't know. Odorous Urungus could be the father for all we know. We don't know. But apparently they did a DNA test, and you were the closest match.
My DNA is green.
You were the guy.
Yeah.
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
And I think it's safe to say we are having an absolute ball here right now.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely.
We have Dave Brocky on the phone from GWAR and Odorous Urungus. Dave, it's an honor again to speak to you. It really is great to have you on the show.
We had so much fun last time. I'm now second time I'm on the show. Heck, one more time I'm going to be practically a recurring character.
and you never cease to amaze us. This time it's a woman in a tattered red nightgown floating on the about 6 inches above the floor,
mm-hmm.
scaring you in your own home. And and hopefully we got you some ideas.
Maybe to help you out. Yeah, maybe to help you out there.
I have to say your website www.gwar, GWAR. Of
that's
course,
the band's website, yep.
Dot .net. That's GWAR's website.
GWAR's website.
Your
yeah.
own is Odorous, Oderus. Is that a .net or a .com?
It's .com.
I think it's .com, yeah.
Yeah, .com.
Yeah. And that's a pretty funny site. It's just kind of, I just kind of stick all this. The GWAR thing I just use as like a lure to get people to go there. And then there's like another 20 pages attached to it that are just full of various psychotic ramblings. My favorite page and probably the best one on there is the stupid page where I basically, anytime I do anything stupid, I have to write it down on here, and it's just like some of these things are so embarrassing. And I was hoping to shame myself into not doing stupid things, but it hasn't worked.
That's Ghostly Talk for me.
We should have our own stupid page.
We have a stupid
we
tracker for
my stupid things.
Yeah, we have a stupid tracker for put out on Bonnie.
Yeah. Because she hurts herself everywhere she goes.
Well, the latest was we were at a paranormal picnic, and she thought it would be the greatest thing on the planet if her and I rolled down this toboggan hill. So we did. I, of course, was uninjured. Embarrassed, but uninjured. but Bonnie, of course, developed bruises and a concussion. And was
planted my face off the ground. It happened.
So she does those embarrassing things as well.
Dave, we had the pleasure, actually, the beginning of this month, as a matter of fact. We went out and we went to the Sounds of the Underground show out here in Clarkston, Michigan, to see you guys, number one. I have to say, I was there to see GWARs. I haven't seen you guys in a little while, along with a host of other great bands, and I have to say, it was a riot. You guys, it blows me away to how many people, we were chanting GWAR. Before they, I mean, we're GWAR, down there just GWAR, screaming our heads GWAR. Off, just GWAR, GWAR, GWAR. And I have to relay a funny story to you, Dave. You're going to crack up laughing when you hear this one.
Okay.
And I'm gonna have to censor this as much as possible because, you know, Odorous Urungus, he's quite a character,
mm-hmm.
right? And there was in between one of the songs, apparently one of the I think you guys said the actual president of the GWAR fan club here in Detroit was there on location. You brought him up on stage. And, you know, I'm trying to keep my composure here. The thing is there was a lot of security. The way the stage was set up at this particular show, there was the barrier, of course, and then there was the stage, right? And in between the barrier, there was a lot of security guards and people from the security team. They actually did a very good job, I think. They had paramedics right there. In case someone got hurt, they were gonna help you out and take care of you right there, right? And there was some, I have to say, I don't know if you saw them off the stage there, Dave, but there was some really, like, nice very well-prepped young ladies, just very nice people. They looked like nice girls, just clean-cut young ladies. And they were smiling, and they're paramedics, and they're trying to do good and help people out. And here comes Guar. And let's just say this particular thing that happened on stage, it was even me, I'm like, oh, my God. They pulling this one off, and I looked at a couple of these girls over there in their paramedic uniforms, right? And I never seen such a horrific look on my face, on someone's face in my entire life. These girls were looking at the stage, Dave, and they were just like literally looking at you, then looking at the crowd, and then just going, "I can't believe this is happening." And these kids are loving it; they're having a riot, and we were having a ball. I sat there; I was having a ball watching the show, but I was getting a real kick out of watching a lot of these uptight paramedic people and security people just going, what are they doing up there? What's happening? It was a great show, though, Dave. It was totally awesome to see you guys again. And I can't say it enough. I wish you guys could have played longer. You guys only got like a half an hour set, didn't you?
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing about these festival tours is that you kind of have to deal with lesser set times than we do in our club shows. Mm-hmm. But it kind of is cool in another way because we just smash as much stuff as we possibly can into a half an hour and just kind of let them have it. And that is just such a bloody blur while I'm up there, and it's over before you know it. So it's not really a very difficult thing for us to pull off, unless, of course, you're playing in Corpus Christi, Texas, and it's 110 degrees, and there's direct sunlight on the stage. And so, I don't know, it's like 120, 130 degrees up there underneath the lights, and, you know, you're trying to play this invincible monster god from outer space, and every molecule of your body is just screaming at you, you are about to die unless you get out of this rubber suit immediately. But somehow we made it through. This place in Corpus was the worst, though, because I guess the only place they could build the venue was right next to the city's biggest sewage treatment plant.
Oh.
So it was like, you know, not just like stinking hot up on stage. Every now and then a breeze would blow across the sewage plant, and you would just get this gigantic air fart, basically.
Oh, my God.
If there's any way you could make a Guar show more disgusting, than we figured it out that day.
Well, you guys, I mean, as far as what you expect from a Guar show, the poor kids, we were lucky because we were on the side, like the right side of the stage. I think it was stage right, and we got hit a few times. I ruined a good pair of socks with some stuff shooting off the stage, and I think I wrecked some shoelaces. I got lucky this time, but some of these kids, man, it blew me away. Some of these kids must have been right in the line of fire with you guys, because these kids were absolutely dyed blue and red, Dave. I'm telling you.
Yeah, we had to bump up the spew a lot for the Sounds of the Underground tour. We knew the crowds were going to be a lot bigger,
mm-hmm.
and we needed to get a lot more liquid out there on them. And it's really funny. You play games with the kids out there. Like, you might like see somebody in the front row and like kind of deliberately miss them, and they'll think they like aren't going to get anything on them, and like the very last song just turn something on them and basically just keep it on them the entire song. I like to squirt them. Like, they'll be all smashed up against the barricade, and usually the barricades have got like some kind of wire mesh, and what I'll do is I'll squirt right through the mesh right into the crotch areas of everyone in front of them. Make them look like they peed their pants.
Well, thankfully, at the Clarkston show here in our area, it rained all day pretty much. So
yeah, it was kind of a crappy day.
It was I imagine for you guys, though, it kept you with those suits on, like you said. It was a little bit cooler for you guys. It was easier to go up there and perform.
Yeah. Anything up in the more northern areas went really well. It was just that sickening heat wave the country had, like, there in the middle of the summer. And it was just horrible for us. We started the show with started the run with 17 straight shows.
Oh, my God.
We were playing the Sound of the Underground shows, but we were also doing off days, doing our own gig.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the 18th day, we finally got a day off, but our bus broke down, so we got stranded in Odessa, Texas.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely the most desolate, just absolutely nothing happening town in the world. We didn't get a bus back for 3 days, so it was just like planes, trains, and automobiles. However we could get to the next gig was what we had to do. And then when we finally got the bus back, the air conditioner was broken.
Oh.
So, like, people look at these tour buses and they're like, oh, it's so cool and everything. Yeah, but inside there's like 12 sweaty, dudes laying around in their underwear, just desperately trying to keep cool any way they can. So it was a grueling, grueling tour for us, but that's what we do. And it was like, it was really crazy because we got back from the tour, and then on our way back, they call us, the management calls us up. They're like, oh, wow, Tom Green wants you to come out to Hollywood and do his streaming cable show, that he's streaming internet show that he's been doing out of his living room, apparently, for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, oh, great, when's that? They're like, right now, basically. We had to got back from the tour, unpacked the boxes, repacked the costumes into smaller boxes, got on a plane, flew to L.A., did the show, and then flew straight back. It was just like, we made it.
That's a busy week. That's a really
busy week. And we've been doing this for 20 years now, and it's just all part of just the overall plan for complete domination of the universe. It's just to continue to assault with all maximum vigor until finally, you know, the powers that be just give up in knee-sagging, groveling, total just acceptance of the fact that GWAR isn't going to go away, and we have been the cutting-edge shock rock theatrical theater thing to happen in metal or any type of music, you know, forever. I mean, bands like Slipknot and some of those other things that kind of happened after GWAR, you know, they were cool and everything, but I don't think anyone's really upped the ante on what it is that we do on stage. And it's still GWAR's hallowed domain. And,
Dave, I've been saying
this. Go out on these festival tours and hang out with a lot of these bands that are a lot younger than us and get, like, just the total, just the respect from these people is just unbelievable. It's like GWAR has certainly paid their dues over the years, and we've remained a very vital force in music. And the one thing that they never got from us was our integrity. We've always just done it our way, and you know, that's what coming from Richmond, Virginia will do for you. You know, it's just like we always just did it the way that we envisioned it. And 20 years later, it's still going strong. In fact, you know, I might be crazy, but I think GWAR's biggest days are still in the future. GWAR is a band that can go on forever. I mean, it's a lot more like Cats than it is Ozzy Osbourne. You know, we could franchise it out. We could, you know, I look at like what the Blue Man Group has done in Vegas. You know, I look at all these crazy video games and stuff, and I just know that there's more coming for GWAR that's going to be absolutely amazing. In fact, right now we're in negotiations with a couple really, really big gaming companies to finally do the ultimate, you know, GWAR console game.
Man.
Yeah,
it'll
we've
be
got
over
a
with.
Great workup on it. We've got a great treatment. The ideas are amazing. And I finally got the ears of some really big, but shall have to remain nameless at this point, companies. So, and I believe that something like that is really what's finally going to push GWAR over the edge. Because, you know, digital technology is changing, you know, the whole face of music and what people buy to entertain themselves with. So it very well could be a medium that it hasn't even been invented yet. But I envision like a product that is like, it's a game and the new album and a GWAR movie, you know, all at once. And it's just crazy to me that this concept is still just as much fun and exciting to work on as it was when we started it 20 years ago.
Well, Dave, I've been telling people this for years, not to take away from Slipknot or Marilyn or anybody, right? Any of those people out there doing this thing we call shock rock, right? When Slipknot came out, people were like, oh my God, this is the most over-the-top thing I've ever seen in my entire life. When Marilyn came out before that, oh my God, this is the most over-the-top thing I've ever seen in my entire life. I'm like, wait, GWAR was doing that 15 years ago, man, and they're still doing it today. Where have you guys been?
I don't understand is all the fuss. There's this band from Europe right now called Lordi. Have you heard of that?
Oh, God,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They just got, like, the biggest music award you can get in Europe and whatever, and they dress up and stuff in these crazy costumes. And the guy, Lordi, his costume is such a ripoff of mine. I mean, at first people were like, oh, my God, he's ripping you off so bad. And I was like, I don't really care. And then I saw a picture of him, and I was like, oh, my God. It's so odorous. It's ridiculous. But
so
I listened to the music, and I was just like, you know, this is crap. This is like Billy Idol, but, you know, really, really bad. And
well, Dave, I
really expected another band. I guess Slipknot is probably the band that came closest to it, but I really expected another band to come along sooner or later and do what we're doing and really take it to the next level. And I don't think that that's happened. And that's why I think if we're gonna, if that's gonna, if it is gonna happen, it's probably gonna be something that we come up with ourselves. So who knows? Maybe there's gonna be another Slave Pit spin-off project at some point, like the X-Cops or DBX, and
I love the X-Cops.
I've just got this whole idea of like this metal band that is basically will be to metal what John Carpenter's The Thing was to horror movies. I just want to have chittering, screaming, ovulating blobs just exploding in your face. It's just like, you know, there's no frame of reference, there's no characters. It's just this, like, the most horrific thing you've ever seen. And it just goes off for like 20 minutes and then it stops.
It's like American politics.
Yeah. Well, Dave, I mean, it's ironic you mentioned Lordy, too, because just yesterday, actually, before I was going to bed last night, I was looking at one of my girlfriend's metal magazines, right? And I've heard of this band, Lordy, right? I've heard of them. I heard a couple of tunes, and I laughed hysterically.
I've seen the video.
Well, I laughed hysterically at the music. I just saw a picture of this guy, of Lordy, that Dave's referring to last night.
Mm-hmm.
And this is it's creepy in a way, because I thought the same thing. I really have to say, I'm like, hey, nice shoulder pads, buddy.
Oh, I know.
Those look very familiar.
He's got the rubber monster gloves. He's got the horns on his forehead.
Yeah, right. Man. And I was like, yeah, that looks familiar to somebody. Again, I have, you guys are doing this thing. You're on 20 years we're talking here. And the thing that amazes me the most, Dave, and I've been a fan since the beginning, since I was a child. And you guys have never let up. There has never been, like you said, there's never been any changes. You guys have never let up. If anything, you guys have gotten even more over the top. And I commend you for that, because we do the same thing here. We're not blowing stuff up and killing people on Ghostly Talk, as much as we'd like to sometimes.
Right.
We tell people the same thing. We're basically doing the exact same thing we did when we started doing this show. And this is what we like to do. This is what it's all about. And there's never been any changes for anything. We want to keep it the same way. So I can identify with that so much with you, Dave. And I commend you for that. That's all I can say.
When you're not making a ton of money off your art, that's really what you have to go for. And what we always did from the beginning is just to fulfill our vision of what we felt was sadly lacking in music. And, you know, no one has stepped up, really, to take us off our throne. So, you know, and we're not going to give it up easily. So,
you shouldn't.
We can look forward to Guar for at least another several millennium, I think.
Well, I know everybody looks forward to that. Again, you guys, actually, a while back, you guys released a DVD, too. What's the name of that DVD?
Bloodbath and Beyond, yes. I just noticed that we have the word Beyond in both of the things we're releasing this summer. But that was just a coincidence. Yeah, Bloodbath and Beyond is kind of a retrospective of lots of crazy live footage and a lot of that stuff. You know, we didn't really have good source material at all. It really came from like old VHS copies of things that we had that were like ancient and really rare video clips, some behind the scenes stuff, some unreleased totally bizarre videos that I directed with the guys, and it's pretty interesting, you know. It's not really it's not like the super documentary of like Guar's existence, but it is quite humorous, and so that DVD's been out a couple months and it's doing pretty good. But yeah, we're super stoked about the album, which is out just here in a couple days.
Yeah,
Bloodbath and Beyond, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you guys were all sitting around like the oak table or whatever in
what are we gonna call this
and
thing?
Like,
all these, I mean,
and they're like, oh, I know, Guarbucks. No, that'll never do.
put a big paper on the wall. We just start writing titles on it. Like within five lines, the titles have just become jokes completely, and then it just the paper just becomes an arena for people to like take pot shots at each other or put up stupid fake titles.
That's a lot like what goes on around here, yeah.
The exact same thing goes on around here.
Just exactly, yeah.
But yeah, one day we were at Bed Bath and Beyond, and we're like, oh, Bed Bath and Beyond. It makes perfect sense.
I like that better than Guarbucks. My idea of having Guarbucks is bad idea.
I was telling you earlier, though, Dave, I mean, I picked up this DVD myself, and it was really great. Like I was saying, I have everything on VHS tape, all the old videos and stuff like that. It was really great to just go back and, you know, be able to, like, thumb through them now because you have digital technology. It's really cool. And see a lot of these old things from a kinder, gentler time in Guar.
Everybody
was in the band. We had Techno Destructo and Six Fuser and Sleazy T. Martini and about 8 Slaves and Clemens behind it.
Oh, yeah.
Those were great days for Guar. We were looking at stuff. I mean, we'd come out on stage, we'd have a breakthrough backdrop. We would decapitate three people in the first song.
Yep. Wow.
I mean, it's just like, that was great, and it was completely over the top, and that was what we needed to do to really get our foot in the door. But as we got into it more, we realized, man, we just got too many people in this band, and it's getting to the point where we couldn't write an album without having to write songs for 8 guest stars as well. And we're not a rap act, you know. We're not like that. So we finally, you know, it wasn't that we never kicked anybody out. It's just, you know, people, some of the art department just kind of wandered off and started doing different things. Prime Minister went off and did Girly Freak Show and, you know, Techno Destructo is somewhere out in Hollywood right now working on prosthetic limbs and but it was good for us because, you know, we just kind of, we had to streamline it a little bit. It was getting too big, too bulky, and we needed to, like, regroup. And that basically started happening with the Violence Has Arrived thing, and we've been riding a really, really good wave of popularity ever since. So we're looking for this record to be probably, hoping this is probably going to be the biggest record we've ever done. It's really weird to meet GWAR fans who aren't really familiar with, like, the early years of GWAR at all. You know, these kids that are, like, you know, 13 and 14 years old who just got into GWAR, like, you know, Violence Has Arrived might have been the first record they ever heard of GWAR. They haven't even listened to Scum Dogs yet. It's just pretty bizarre. The generations that come to see GWAR shows, like, we'll have dads bringing their kids, you know, and soon we're going to have what we call the grandfather show, where there's going to be granddad, dad and son, three generations of GWAR kids, you know.
I saw them.
The World Maggot at once.
That's one thing I noticed at this last show. I mean, I'm getting to that point, man. I this really sucks. I have to say this right here. I'm getting to the point now in my life where I'm going to these same shows I was going to when I was a kid, right? And I'm the old guy now. This really sucks, man. But I noticed
it really sucks, but you know what's cool about it is that heavy music has stayed the same kind of for a long time. And so you've got lots of kids that are into the same things that their parents are into. Now, when I was growing up, it was completely different. My parents were from England. You know, they immigrated to the States, like, in the mid-60s. They were already, you know, in their 40s at that point. So they'd grown up with, like, Glenn Miller and stuff like that. You know, they didn't. And when I started listening to punk rock and doing GWAR, they were just like, oh, my God. But now you have, you know, families where they go to see GWAR all together.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a family affair. Like, oh, come on, let's, you know, we'll stop at KFC and then we'll roll over to the GWAR show. And, you know,
I saw tons of kids out there, tons of young, very young kids, and I talked to a couple of them in line, actually, when we were getting into the gates, and I'm like, you know, they're wearing GWAR t-shirts, and I'm like, you know, how old are you, dude? Oh, I'm 13, I'm 14, and then, like you just said, I talked to a gentleman who was their father, and he's like, you know, he was like, I'm like, you here to see GWAR? Well, I'm not really familiar with them, but I hear about all this wild stuff they do, and I wanted to check it out also, so I bought a ticket too, and I wanted to come with my kids and see a show. So as over the top as you guys are, right, as crazy as you guys are, as scary as you guys are, there is a bonding thing there. And I've seen it personally, Dave. You say it, and I've seen it. I can back you up 100% on that. There is a bonding thing where, yeah, this is nuts. We are having a good time, though. Hey, that's a good thing. At least, I know that I tell people this all the time, Dave. Me and my father have nothing in common except for AC/DC and ZZ Top. That's it. Me and him are polar opposites, but there's two things on this planet that we like, and that's AC/DC and ZZ Top. And we've always, growing up, we sat in the garage while he worked on something, and I watched him. I don't know. I didn't really know what it was. But we'd sit there and both be, like, jamming to, like, Flick of the Switch or something like that. Like, okay, cool. So it's a great thing. I mean, like you said, there's these generations now. And you guys have been around so long, it's really great you guys can experience that, too. And that's because you guys have stuck to it and stayed around for as long as you have.
Yeah, I don't know quite how we've done it, but it's definitely been the case. We've really, really appreciate the support, you know, that we've gotten, the fans and everybody over the years, and you know, there's no sign that this juggernaut is going to slow down. Even our encroaching decrepitude isn't going to stop us.
You know,
it's like football players are playing in the NFL into their 40s now. You know, it's easier to stay in shape than it used to be, and you have to have your act together to be in this band. You know, physically have to have your act together. And I actually blew out a disc a couple of years ago, and I had like a spasm right before this tour, and it really sucked because for like the first week of the tour I was in a lot of pain, and it was just like, this would really, really suck if this wasn't getting better, but it did.
Well, good.
And we just keep slugging away, man. It's just what we do, and it's just like, the idea of giving up on guar is so repugnant to us. It's like, and you just, I think it just gives people comfort to know that whatever is going on in their lives, they know that somewhere out there, you know, Odorous Urungus is doing something horrible. And it's just like, I'm not going to take the Tooth Fairy or Santa Claus away, and I'm not going to take guar away either. It's an essential part of the human psyche by now. And I won't be satisfied until its bloody reign is spread across the entire world. I mean, we haven't been to Japan yet. We haven't been to Australia yet. We haven't made a movie, a full-length movie all about guar. We haven't done a guar video game. There's still a lot of goals that we haven't met yet, and that we're not going to stop plugging away until we do.
And this comes from people that started out just making costumes and doing shows together, and it just blows me away. I mean, we look back on Ghostly Talk here, just this little thing we do, Doug and I, and we're like, how are we doing this? what are we doing here? I mean, you guys must look back on the 20 years that you guys have been doing and do the same thing. So, I mean, I commend you guys for that.
Well, I'm looking forward to your rule of the universe. but right now, time is ruling us.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yes, I noticed that. It's also time for Deadwood.
Time for Deadwood.
Dave, hang on for one quick second. We're just going to close the show out, all right? Give us 1 second.
All right.
Cool.
Yes.
Ghostly Talk.
I have to say, thank you so much, Dave Brocky, Odorous Urungus, www.guar.net. Their album comes out
Tuesdays. This Tuesday, man.
Tuesday.
Guess who's going to be at the record store first thing in the morning?
Scott L.
Yes, sir.
So you can meet Scott L. at the record store at 9 a.m. David Janos before that, reversespeech.com. And, of course, Field Report with the lovely Tushy Galore of ghostgeeks.com. That has been Ghostly Talk. Thank you, everybody, for listening on your iPods and on the radio and everywhere and anywhere.
Rest in peace, Ed Warren.
We forgot.
Ed Warren, rest in peace.
It's on the homepage,
all
guys.
All of our love goes out to Lorraine and John and the family.
Absolutely.
With that, this has been Ghostly Talk. We'll see you next week. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Bonnie.
Have a good
week.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
To listen to now. Media, become the media.